There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Hello everyone and welcome to the first episode of the Gilcast. It's 2023, it's week one, we are here. We started the season on a high note. I know what people want. Look, I get it. You all want to tune in to the Gilcast on Sunday night. One, we already let you guys down because, I don't know. Sammy had some fucking shit he had to do on Sunday night.
Look, dude, my aunt comes into town from out of state. And it's like, don't you know it's the first week of football? Like, these people are oblivious. These boomers just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come in. Let's see the kids. You know, great. It's like, no, dude. There's football on. All I want to do is sit in my skivvies all day and scratch my balls and watch football. And instead, I'm like packing up kids and going and seeing family. And it's so brutal. Like, I'm just taking beats all over the place this weekend.
What it would be like to be a normal person and not just have this day on your calendar where we get to obsess over everything and by 12:05 tilt our face off.
It's really unbelievable. So Nate, I mean, you win. The three-man, 155.92 points. I came in second in the three-man with 144.72. The Whirling Dervish, he played the, this was the Levitan team. This was the 2v2 that everyone was basically thinking about the entire week. And you scored 132.7. Nate, walk people into the process of how the fuck it is possible that this is something that still happens to you in 2023, that you're uploading the wrong
week
lineup.
Week one, we lose to Nate Noling, who uploads the wrong cash game lineup into everything. I mean, this is just classic yeah. Football stuff. I'm so excited for football season. And then this happens.
Well, to be fair, you would have lost by even more if I would have had my real team. So, because it was basically my real team. At first, I thought I'd uploaded like a GPP team. And then I looked at it and it was like, so I build a bunch of lineups. I use an optimizer. I have all my projections I upload. I kind of have a cash team. And then I kind of spit out a few different lineups to kind of look at them. And the first team that it spit out as the optimal was what I played. But at 11 o'clock, I was sitting there going, I'm not playing two rookies in cash week one. Like, I'm just not going to do that with A-Rich and Bijan. And so I swapped it. I did a manual swap myself to Sam Howell and Austin Eckler. And so it was a I know better type move because it was basically my same team. The projection difference in my system was like 0.2 points. But then there was a bunch of weird late news with DeAndre Swift and other things that I reran everything for my tournament teams, uploaded that, and forgot to go back in and make the manual switch to do the less optimal cash team. And so it was ultimately a 2v2 that didn't hurt me at all. I lost 4 points on it, but I still would have won either way. So the cash team I was going to play that I sent you guys at 11:01 was much, I felt solid about it. It was the,
all right. Well, this is a terrible story. I mean, the bottom line is you didn't pay down at running back. You paid up for Bijan. You kicked our ass. I mean, I hate football. I waited all season
except,
for this.
Except and... I do. I just, Nate, I don't, this is so unlike you to play Bijan Robinson over Jamar Chase, to play the three running back.
I wasn't
going to
play Bijan. I was going to play Eckler. So look at my team that I sent you guys at 11:01. It was Eckler. It was Howell Eckler. ultimately what I did was I paid up at one of the running back spots
instead of playing Jamar Chase.
And so that was my 2v2. And then the only thing I was sweating at 11:01 was whether I play Reed or Mims.
Fair enough. I mean,
so it wasn't like I played some Galbraith team. It was, I made a running back volume play over.
All right. Well, let's get into the mind of a coward. Let's just get into the mind of a coward, because Sammy, the only reason you could possibly give me that you didn't play Anthony Richardson, $5,600 dome game, dude, 6'4", 240, runs a 4.440. I mean, the only fucking reason you could have had to have not played Anthony Richardson was that you were scared. You were scared. Just admit it to everyone here on the program. You were a scaredy cat of Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, I am a cuck grandmaster. That's the only thing I can say here on this program. I mean, Jesus Christ, I was scared. I was scared of the downside. And it was just like, okay, like, Jalen Hurts, the number one quarterback in fantasy, like, he's playing the weak-ass New England Patriots. Like, what could go wrong? And instead, literally, the only thing that went wrong is that Anthony Richardson outscored Jalen Hurts by, like, you know, whatever, like, 8-9 points. I mean, that was it. Yeah, I was scared. I was scared, man. I didn't want to go into week one like, oh, this guy's never played an NFL game. The guy can barely throw a ball. Instead, he, you know, obviously runs in a touchdown because that's what he does. He throws a swing pass to Michael Pittman, athletic beast, who breaks it off for 40 yards down the sideline and scores. And it's just like, that's the story of me. My mental weakness. I lost because of it. It's very, 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 very tough to deal with on this Monday morning.
This was the team that I played. Anthony Richardson, Raheem Mostert, Jamal Williams. I ended up swapping to Jaden Reed over Marvin Mims, not because I thought Jaden Reed was the better play, but I thought that, so what I was fading, I believe 21.5, Sammy, versus your team from Jalen Hurts. And I basically figured Hurts gets 21.5, I don't know, 55, 60% of the time, something like that. And it would feel really shitty to lose because I just stuck on the 3K wide receiver that everyone else had. And it ended up being Mims was about 40% owned. Reed was about 20% owned. Now, in my projections, in my imagining, I did not imagine that Marvin Mims was going to be playing behind Brandon Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey. I actually thought I probably was going to lose that one. I actually thought Mims was going to be the second wide receiver for the Broncos, especially with like the Dulcich snaps and stuff. Like, I just thought like Mims is going to get targeted here a lot. And I might, like, I liked Mims. So really, that was just a lucky swap.
Well, and also it's week one. Like, if you weren't swapping, like, who are you? Who are you?
Right.
Anymore,
right? I mean, obviously the real alpha play would have been swapping to my short king, Tutu Atwell, 6 receptions for 119 yards. I mean, can you imagine if I would have swapped to Tutu was in my shell. He was in my shell all week. Like, that was who I had saved as a 3K wide receiver.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
No.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. I have 20% of Tutu Atwell on across like 850 best ball teams. That's my guy.
But the Rams were
guy.
Not a team that you were, I mean, everybody was considering between Jaden Reed and Marvin Mims. There was not.
Yes.
No, you would not have started cash week one of Tutu. Like, you just wouldn't have.
I would not have, but it would have been a good story.
Is it fair to say then that you are also a coward, Davis? Results be damned.
Yes. Oh, totally.
You also
totally
have some cowardly genes in your system.
Well, there's another coward play that we all made too that we'll get to. So
they are freaking likely.
Yes. 3K wide receiver, Jaden Reed, Marvin Mims, pick your poison. Justin Jefferson, who I thought was the priority play of the week, which is actually why I ended up playing Anthony Richardson. It's not actually because I mean, obviously I thought Jalen Hurts was gonna do well, and I was very surprised to see him score 13.5 points in that spot, but it was just wanting to get Jefferson. Then honestly, just like the feels bad play of the year, Jamar Chase, 9.1 DraftKings points, Isaiah Likely at tight end, Tyreek Hill, and the Commanders defense, the cumulative own of this team. Let's actually see here in the massive $25 double up. I mean, this team was duped about a billion times. Richardson was 21%, Mostert was 60, Jamal was 65, Jefferson was only 50, Chase was 45, Reed ended up being 16%, Likely 76, Tyreek 69, nice, and the Commanders at 86%. How owned was your team, more owned than that, Sammy, or was Richardson Jefferson more popular, or was Hurts Ridley more popular?
So I'm looking at, I mean, you know, obviously we enter like a ton of these like giant double ups, but in this one, it's like a 8,000 person, $25 double up. The percentages are a little different. Like Tyreek's only 55%. The Commander's 74%. Hertz was only 22.1% owned. So, you know, Likely's 56. So that's, I mean, you know.
I think there was also a lot of swapping happening. Like Herbert being 20, like Herbert was, it seemed like a lot.
No. Levitan brought this up in his article. There was actually a Herbert team that made sense where you drop down from Hertz to Herbert and you get up. I think it was you get up from Chase to Jefferson. So there was actually a Herbert team that made sense. So I don't know how much swapping that was.
Got it. Cause yeah, I was surprised when the afternoon slate locked and I saw Herbert being the second highest owned cash QB. Cause like in the massive $25 double up, which is like kind of the main thing I use for ownership, Hertz was 22. Richardson was all the way down at 12.9. Herbert was 20.1. And then Sam Howell was 8.8. And so to me, I only considered Hertz, Richardson, and Howell for cash all week. I never considered Herbert. So having Herbert be twice what Howell and Richardson was pretty surprising. So there was really three paths. It was Hertz, Richardson / Howell, cheap QB, or Herbert.
Davis, do you want to tell people what we actually played?
Yes. Okay. So this was the other team. This was the team that Sammy played. He played Jalen Hurts at quarterback, Raheem Mostert and Jamal Williams at running back, Jamar Chase, Calvin Ridley, Marvin Mims at wide receiver, Isaiah Likely at tight end, Tyreek Hill at flex, and the Commanders defense. So it really was, I mean, those two teams, like I bet if you pulled up a CSV of the massive $25 double up, you'd find, 20% of the player pool probably with one of those two teams. And honestly, I mean, the Ridley play, Jesus Christ, like that was, he ain't going to be 6,500 for long, you know?
No, like Ridley immediately like goes for like 92 yards and a touchdown in the first half. And I'm just like, oh yeah, week one's a print. Like, because essentially I had the Richardson team, right? I had Richardson and Jefferson. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to 2v2. I'm going to Hurts and Ridley instead, because obviously Ridley's not as good as Jefferson. But I was just like, you know what? I think Ridley, you know, this price gap is actually like not as big as it should be. Like, I think Ridley's going to be an alpha. You know, he's been drafted as an alpha. We've seen Davis posting Calvin Ridley, you know, clips from training camp. He looks quick. He looks sudden. It's like, you know, we're in on the Jags. I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to get this going. And he immediately smashes. And I'm just like, I'm the guy.
Yeah. I was like, shit, like, we're just going to lose here. Like, I thought my side was so dead. And then Justin Jefferson had to have just had the quietest 134-yard first half in the history of fantasy football. I mean, it was like, I blink. I'm like, oh my God, Ridley's just going to beat Jefferson straight up, which I think he did, by the way, by point one.
Yeah.
Jefferson straight up should have had Tyreek's day. I mean, they were trailing in the second half to the Buccaneers. Like, if Kirk Cousins could handle a freaking snap, this guy, Kirk Cousins is the biggest loser. I mean, Kirk Cousins is the biggest loser in the National Football League. Like, this guy is letting Baker Mayfield come into his stadium as a 5.5-point underdog, look him in the eye, and just beat him down. Like, embarrassing for the Minnesota Vikings. Like, oh. And Cousins kept, they got to the red zone twice and he just wouldn't throw it to Jefferson. It was like he was like throwing to KJ Osborne. He was chucking it down to Alexander Mattison. Like, it just, that was brutal. That was a brutal second half to watch.
It was brutal. But we can't overstate how good Justin Jefferson is. I mean, he literally looked, if you were watching the game, it wouldn't have stuck out to you at all. It looks like he's just doing his job. And all yes. of a sudden, and it's like, he makes 28 DraftKings points seem just easy. That's a bad day for him. And his ceiling is just unmatched. I it's insane to me. I mean, you watch what Tyreek did yesterday. Obviously Tyreek is insane, but this is like Tyreek at his ceiling. where Justin Jefferson, this is just his, like, he's just, this is his day. You know, this isn't like him going out of his way. It's nuts how high Justin Jefferson's ceiling is.
I can't believe Calvin Ridley matched Justin Jefferson and I lost because Anthony Richardson beat Jalen Hurts straight up. Like, this is, I'm running so bad already, you guys. This is just,
well, I mean, this is what happened.
Well, you've been sun running
without the touchdown equity. I mean, literally, Justin Jefferson didn't even have the most expected touchdowns on his team. Jordan Addison got like 3 targets in the end zone.
Jordan Addison looked really good, by the way. Yeah, I mean, that's something to remember, is that he looked like phenomenal in his first game.
If those end zone targets go to Jefferson, I mean, Jefferson's putting up 35 points easy, you know, like, I don't know. Jefferson's insane. But the thing I want to talk about is why you guys weren't considering high price running back at all. Like, Eckler, to me,
I just liked Chase better, or about the same.
Well, they were like $600 different too.
Yeah.
Like if it was straight up for me, you know, I would have probably played Eckler over Chase because, you know, I like playing the running back and the flex, but it's like the $600 made a big difference. So it wasn't just a 1-for-1 swap, frankly.
Yeah,
I mean, could have just done Bijan over Chase, like Alpha Nate over here. And
Bijan, by the way, if Bijan had a coach who cared that he just spent a first round pick on him, I mean, he could add 40.
That touchdown was like a work of art. I mean,
the Algier stuff's not going anywhere. Like, whatever, like, however good you think Bijan is, and I think he's amazing, the Algier stuff is not, like, that's happening.
No, it's not going away, and Nate paid $8K for a guy who's, like, in a 50-50 timeshare and just, like, binked us.
No, he didn't bink us because the passing game usage was what sharp people like me expected. People expected Bijan to basically be the only running back earning targets on that team. And actually, if you have a shitty quarterback, like Desmond Ridder, a lot easier to complete checkdowns to Bijan Robinson than it is to find Drake London, who went, by the way, I mean, Nate, how poor are you going to be playing $4,700 Drake London every single week? Like, you're just going to be like, dude, Whopper.
The one thing about it is he's not actually even getting the Whopper, like the area. Yeah. It's actually like the way my model works, like, I'm not going to fall for Drake London. I'm not going to fall for Kyle Pitts because these guys are getting 3 targets. Like, the actual volume isn't there, but like, it's tilting. I mean, the Arthur Smith quote at the end of the game was like, you know, Drake's happy. We got the win. No, this is a waste of this guy's career. It's so freaking tilting. I mean, he is good. He is as good as any of these other second year wide receivers. And we're just never going to see, anything as long as he's under Arthur Smith.
Well, I should have known, Nate, because, you know, I took a lot of Bijan over 67.5 rushing yards on Prize Picks, and
I took over 70. I took over 70.5 earlier in the week as like a prop bet, and I thought it was like easy money. I was like, they're going to be winning the whole time. I did the bet against all the rookie quarterbacks same game parlay. So bet, it was Falcons, Ravens, and who's the other team that played a rookie quarterback, and Jaguars, and it played out like +118 or whatever, and it was like literally never in doubt. That's one to remember for next year when Caleb Williams and Drake May are starting in week one.
Dude, how about the goddamn Ravens, by the way? I mean, these guys just dicked me all over the place, like a lot of Dobbins and tournament teams. Oh, score a touchdown, blow out your Achilles, bye, have a nice career, JK, it was great, sorry you didn't get your bag. Lamar Jackson was a cuck. I mean, everybody was bad except for, you know, Zay Flowers, who's just like, if you read Davis Maddox thread and like it at Davis Maddox, please retweet it. You know, you'll see that Zay Flowers had a really good usage and he was great. He really was.
Yeah. Yeah. He was awesome. Zay Flowers is definitely him. All right. Let's all own up. Let's not own up. Let's talk about it. So there were some people, like, I mean, I think if I would have been doing weekly rankings, I probably would have had likely at like tight end 5 on the week or whatever. Like, he was awesome last year filling in for Mark Andrews. I think the stat is he either had 100 yards or a touchdown in every game that Mark Andrews missed. He led the team last season in targets per route run. He had an insane yards per route run. That was a very different Ravens team last year. Bateman was injured. Odell Beckham was not on the team. Zay Flowers was not on the team. A lot of those games, Lamar Jackson was not the quarterback.
Todd Monken.
Not Todd. Maybe the biggest thing, actually, was that Greg Roman loved to throw the tight ends, and Todd Monken has been more of like a spread air raid. Not now, obviously, last year at Georgia, Todd Monken's two best players were Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers, so it was a little bit different. But, I mean, Musgrave was about as good of a tight end play as you can get, right? Like, facing this awful Bears defense, like, Christian Watson's out, Romeo Doubs is banged up. I'm actually doing this thread right now while we're recording, and the Packers didn't have any wide receiver play over 29 snaps. They all just rotated in and out. Musgrave led the offense, other than Jordan Love, obviously, in snaps. Musgrave actually almost had like a 60-yard touchdown, but he fell down. Were we fish to not just stick to Musgrave and just immediately go to Likely, or was it fine?
So here's the thing. Part of me wants to say yes, because like the volume on Musgrave, and that's why I liked Reed over Mims, was so high. We knew Green Bay just had dust, and Green Bay, like Reed and Musgrave, were going to get targets, where with Likely, you're always playing the efficiency game. Like, you're always going to be playing the efficiency game there. So part of me says yes, but also part of me says like, Jordan Love's efficiency in this game was off the charts. No one expected this. I mean, Jordan Love literally had like the best EPA, pass EPA in the
league. 9.1 YPA for Jordan Love.
Yeah. So Jordan Love ended up like leading the week in pass EPA per play, which no one expected. So I do think we're looking at this as like, with a little bit of hindsight, it's 2020, where Likely could have easily been in a spot where his touchdown equity was five times what Musgrave was, and we would have felt like fish on the other side. But it was just tilting. And his ownership in tournament, like, I feel bad because I played him in tournaments in some spots where I just shouldn't have. But this Likely thing was, I don't know, unless Sammy's going to have a different take here of like real football, you should never play a tight end when you're looking at this OC. I don't know, but
no, man, I have the same take. I think we just ran bad. I mean, Isaiah Likely, he's what, 80% of Mark Andrews at worst?
And it 3K? Was a late scratch. It was a late scratch. It wasn't like they planned for him all week and said, hey, we're just going to avoid the tight end position. So are they really going to throw out the whole playbook on a Saturday when they realize like, hey, Mark Andrews isn't going to make it this week? Because most people assumed he was playing. I mean, it was questionable, but it wasn't like he was ruled out on Wednesday.
He was limited. He was limited in practice. It's a quad injury. Like, who gives a shit? And instead, he just like sat out. I mean, I didn't.
Zay Flowers just took over the game. Zay Flowers literally had 10 targets. I mean, was it eight? I mean, Zay Flowers just was the guy.
I thought that Likely was going to be so owned, and he was such a good play that I refused to play him in tournaments because I was like, yo, like this guy is just going to be.
I didn't play him in turn. I think I played him a little bit in tournaments if I got weird with other stuff, but I was mostly Musgrave or other tight ends in tournaments. Yeah.
So I just thought you ran bad. I mean, when you're playing the min price tight end game, as I love to do, you know, sometimes you get burned, and this time we did. I thought Musgrave was the guy we all had in our lineups all week until the Andrews news. So we would have just gone Musgrave and, you know, ran bad a little there, but Musgrave would have been, I mean, what was Likely owned in cash? He was 57% owned. I mean, come on.
That's what Musgrave would have been. Even in like higher, like the $50 single entry stuff, like he was completely jammed.
Yeah, nobody was within 40% of him. I mean, literally Higbee was the second highest. If he was cheaper, I think I would have considered. But yeah, it was cheap tight end all week.
Right. So that's the thing in tournaments. Like, he was such a good play. I think if you didn't play him in cash, you were just like off the reservation. But when somebody's going to be this widely owned, these min price tight ends, like, dude, they are volatile. Like, let's not pretend they're not, because tight ends are volatile anyways. And so even the min price ones are going to be even more so. It's like, dude, you just can't, their chances of busting out are so high that I don't know. I just don't think you can play them in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, that is just that is good week one advice in general, is just like, don't, although I guess, what was Reek-owned in tournaments? So I guess you still need some of the spots.
Yeah, he's not a min price tight end, right?
Right. Yeah. No, that is true. But it's like,
I mean, the Chargers Dolphins game was like the only game that, like, dude, that was the chalk all week. It was a chalk all offseason. Everybody had this game circled, and it ended up being like the only game that was useful for GPPs. Like, I thought the quality of football today sucked, man. Like, there were all these.
I mean, that was my biggest takeaway, was that the teams are terrible. That it's preseason week four, but just there are a lot of bad teams. You know, that the defenses remain ahead of the offenses because, I mean, there are a lot of reasons for this. Practice rules are different. But really, the too high safety stuff has just fucking ruined the NFL. Like, it's ruined it. And any team that can't make you respect that a dude's going to get 7 yards rushing if you don't have the seventh guy in the box, like, you're just dust. Like, you were just dust against – and it's – like, it sucks, dude.
They'll adapt. Everything will even out over time. I think this is a little bit of week one anomaly. Like, when I pulled the numbers this morning, I literally thought, I'm like, did I pull preseason? Like, the top six quarterbacks in pass EPA per play this week, Jordan Love, Tua, Matthew Stafford, Jimmy G, Brock Purdy, and Jared Goff. Those were the best QBs of the week. And I would have thought, like, I have a data error here. Like, there's no way that this list isn't Patrick Mahomes. It was a weird week. And I don't think it's like, I think everybody's going to say, like, oh, this is the new NFL. This is the way it is. No, offenses will adapt. There will be more Mike McDaniels of the world that figure it out. There will be teams, and the best players will still be the best players. I'm not going to write off Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow will figure it out. Deshaun Watson will get better. I mean,
I might put the brakes on that.
I think if I was like a big Watson guy, or if I had a bunch of Amari Cooper or something, did you see that interception he threw, Nate? I mean, that interception that Deshaun Watson threw, I can't remember if it was the third quarter or the fourth quarter. That was like high school quarterback gets confused on the wrong jersey color for a second or something. I mean, it was like, and he did. There was a scoring drive in the third quarter where he like dropped like three in the bucket. He looked awesome. It was like totally old Deshaun Watson. And then after that, he immediately went back to looking like shit. So, I mean, obviously the weather played a role there. I think that
played a massive role. I'm not worried about Deshaun Watson. I think the weather played a massive role. If you watched Jamar Chase literally looked like he couldn't hold a ball. Like, nobody could do anything in that field. It was, to me, I'm writing off that compared to, was it last year, Chicago, San Francisco, where everybody was like, I mean, it was another rain game that was a disaster.
Are we pouring one out? Are we pouring one out for Fields? Are you tank for Caleb time or what?
I'm not off on that yet. DJ Moore had like two targets.
You literally just highlighted the problem. You just said DJ Moore had two targets and you said that like, oh, that's something that'll regress. It's fine.
Yes, I am not going. Okay, if DJ Moore has two targets every week,
people took DJ Moore in the third round of drafts. Like, come on, bro.
Dude, people took DJ Moore over fucking Puka Nacua. No one knows shit about fantasy football.
Imagine,
am I right?
Imagine.
I mean, the one thing I did get right about the Bears this offseason is Roschon freaking Johnson is the man. This dude led all.
Oh, he's the man.
Expected points, like he is good, and he makes blocks. It's not just. I mean, he's a rookie that looks like he's got it together. I'm like excited.
I mean, some of us have known this about Roschon since you know, March, dude. Some of us have been pounding the drum. You're just a Johnny come lately to the Roschon Johnson.
Oh, I'm saying era. I got it right. I have Roschon Johnson everywhere.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert is going to zero. Donta Foreman is going to zero. So I guess let's wrap it up here in cash, and then we can all go through one of our tournament teams. I guess. The Hurts people, the people who ran the Hurts team, I mean, I do think you deserve to get punished for being scared of playing a rookie, but it was a totally fine team, and you actually deserve to get paid for the Ridley decision. But the sharpest people was not the Richardson team people or the Hurts team people. They were the people that played Justin Herbert instead of Hurts and Justin Jefferson over Jamar Chase. Those were the people that really deserved to get paid. So your wide receivers would have been 3K wide receiver, Justin Jefferson and Calvin Ridley. Those are the people who deserve to get paid. If you played that team, you're sharp.
I guess so. I mean, the Chargers played the shootout of all shootouts, and Justin Herbert threw for 228 yards and one touchdown.
Well, yeah, he stinks. Like, let's be honest.
I mean,
the Chargers remain the Chargers.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know.
I, I mean, I guess, like, obviously Jalen Hurts could have buried everyone so easy, you know, like, again, like, they had a bunch of goal line possessions. They got a pick six. That it's always, is there a more brutal feeling in daily fantasy than when the team of that you have your quarterback on and your most action gets a pick six? You're just like, oh, this is like, I'm not going to have a good day. I'm having
going
a bad
to
day
going
now.
To dust. You know it immediately. And there were so many, it felt like anyway, there were so many defensive touchdowns. Like they kind of like started screwing things up, like screwed up the Eagles game. I didn't really watch the Cowboys Giants, but obviously that screwed up all the fantasy stuff there. Like, I think there were others, but
didn't screw it up for Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is, you know, that's the guy. Nothing can screw him up. Nothing can get him off track. All right. I'll do my terrible GPP team first. So I was like all in on Lamar Jackson. I thought this was just like an insanely good spot for him. I thought, I mean, one, I'm like in on Monken. I thought he really wouldn't get to be that chalk with all of the Miami and Charger stuff that turned out to be true. But J.K. Dobbins scored one touchdown. Justice Hill scored two touchdowns. And the game effectively was, I mean, it was done in the third quarter, which I guess you have to anticipate, honestly, with a lot of these Lamar spots. You just have to hope it comes via touchdowns. So I played, this is in the $50 red zone, the big one. 7% Lamar, feeling good. Bijan Robinson, 7%, feeling good. Travis Etienne, 9%, feeling good. Like, Bijan could have had a bigger day. Etienne could have had, like, 35. He ran the most routes of his career and played the most snaps of his career. I used Justin Jefferson as my stud in this one, 27 points. He was 28% owned. I think that's fine. I think if you have a bunch of single-owned guys, obviously Tyreek Hill would have been better. Zay Flowers at 9%. He's him. Tutu Atwell at 3%, the third highest scoring player in this lineup. What a man. I did play Musgrave. I thought Musgrave with Lamar, I convinced myself that that was like the sharpest thing because
that is sharp, actually.
The Lamar teams, I figured all would have just had likely. Wow. So I feel this lineup, I mean, obviously I didn't fucking win anything, but like in retrospect, all these decisions feel really good. Like I was a smart person and I just, you know, whatever. DeAndre Swift. Mm. DeAndre Swift in the flex here. You give me that Rashad Penny is in active news and I'm registering for new contests to play more DeAndre Swift. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to go nuclear. The Patriots are down all these offensive linemen. They're going to get blown out. DeAndre Swift played 19 snaps. I think he got one carry and one target, Kenneth Gainwell. And I mean, obviously I just wasn't going to play the Commanders defense and I just mix and match with no conviction. I played the Steelers defense in this one, but I mean, whatever.
A great outing by the Steelers, by the way. Like that was awesome.
Classic Deontay Johnson drops a touchdown and leaves injured. Like it's just the quintessential Deontay Johnson.
Not only does he leave injured, but he leaves injured after gaining his 48th yard when his over was 50.5, and I had a metric fuck ton of Deontay Johnson on Prize Picks, and he goes down and blows out his hammy at 48 yards, like early in the third. Like he's just a lock to get it, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so sharp, and now I'm poor. Here we are.
I guess
it was a tough week on the Prize Pick streets.
If I could go back, I mean, obviously I would have just played more Tyreek Hill knowing the results, but I feel mostly fine about how I played. I mean, the Swift stuff is really bad, but the Bijan and Etienne were the guys I played the most across all my lineups.
DeAndre Swift is never going to get there, bro. He's never going to get there. People took him in the first and second round last year. It's like, no, it's just, he's done. It's over. Like the NFL has told us what they think of DeAndre Swift and we're not listening. We need
that was like,
I'm still holding out hope.
You know, what's insane, Sammy, is that was my take in like May and June and July. And then I like started to buy into it. And so now, which is obviously like in August is when all the high stakes drafts happen. So I'm like all out on DeAndre Swift. And now I have DeAndre Swift on like $7,000 worth of fantasy football teams. And there's just nothing I can do. I just got to fucking sit there name on my bench.
Kenneth Gainwell gets 6 touches on the first drive.
Well, Gainwell is my most drafted player in best ball. He's my most drafted player. So I just gotta, as long as Rashad Penny doesn't end up being a lead rusher in this backfield, I'll find a way. All right.
They healthy scratched him. Like, first of all, how often do you expect Rashad Penny to be healthy? You know? And so you scratch him? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, Swift not getting the workload, and it was tilting. I mean, this was
I can only imagine what Nate is about to bless us with. I mean, there's just got he's going to be
Wait,
like,
let's Nate do has... Nate last, cuz this is okay, what the people right. deserve. You're yeah. Right. He'll be the late game hammer here. All right, so I played this lineup. I mean, it was in the $150 power sweep, and I also did a Lamar. So I did Lamar and Zay Flowers. So, you know, obviously super sharp. No Isaiah Likely in this lineup. I brought it back with Nico Collins.
That had to have been every Nico Collins team in high stakes GPPs had to have been a Lamar team. Like, I bet Nico Collins is like, what was he, 3% owned or something? And I bet every single one of them was a Lamar team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was just too sharp, right? So no, I'm feeling
I think it's fine. I do think it's fine.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I also did a Devontae and Cortland Sutton correlation here because I really did want exposure to this game.
Aren't you worried, dude? Aren't you worried about Patrick Surtain?
I mean, I should have been.
Patrick Surtain was in. I very rarely notice a defensive player when I'm watching games. Patrick Surtain was in that dude's jock. He could not get open. It was insane. And then Jacoby Myers is 16 and Adams is 17 and they're both 6'2". So I was just like, which one is which? Like the whole time, I'm just like, please tell me that's Adams. And it never was.
Oh yeah. Well, I can just tell you now, the guy scoring all the touchdowns, that was Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
Correct. So should have just done that if I was actually sharp, but you know, Devontae really stood out as that kind of higher priced receiver that people weren't going to play a lot. And so it was just like, yeah, hashtag sharp play. I ended up playing Njoku at tight end here because, you know, gotta just get that Deshaun Watson exposure.
He totally dominated routes and snaps. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah. But where this lineup kind of went off the rails was at running back. My running backs were Joe Mixon and Kenneth Walker. So the thesis with the Joe Mixon, obviously it was a little Mixon and Njoku. Correlation, but it was also like, oh, Joe Mixon, you know, he's playing all the, you know, he's going to get so much usage and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. He's Joe Mixon. And anything.
I think Joe Mixon was brain dead. I think that was, yeah, that was completely brain dead.
Very, very clearly brain dead. I mean, just anything attached to the Bengals on this day was complete AIDS. So, you know, that I wore it there. And then Kenneth Walker. I mean, bro.
What was Walker owned?
No, good question. But I mean, Jesus H Christ, the LA Rams went into Seattle and kicked the shit out of the Seahawks.
Boat race.
I mean, Matthew Stafford just like
Tutu Atwell sound like cartoon character names, and they're just combined those dudes weigh about 317 pounds, and they're just dunking on the Seahawks, just dunking on them. It was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, so much better than JSN. It's sick. So, you know, didn't get there with him because, you know, I thought the Seahawks would whoop that ass. Joe Mixon was 10%, by the way, in the power sweep.
No, Walker, because I liked Walker was, I thought he was just going to be steamed.
No, I mean, not that steamed, 13.6. So he wasn't unowned, but there was just a lot of running backs in that range. And, you know, I finished this off with the Falcons defense.
At least none of us were dumb enough to play Jamal Williams in GPP. Like, truly the worst. Oh, Nate. Oh, no, Nate! No!
Let's go, Nate. Let's hear it. Here we go.
Jamal Williams was the classic, you play him in cash because everyone else is, but you are literally 0% interested in tournaments play. All right,
that
Nate,
is,
lay it
that
on
is
us.
That is correct.
Lay it on us, Nathaniel.
Yep. So, I did like 7 big single entry teams. I did have some how much did I actually play of Jamal? I had Jamal in 2 of my 7 single entry teams.
Oh,
but
Jesus H Christ, Nate.
No, I mean, that's 28. Like, so 2 teams have set 28%, and I thought the field would have him at like 18 to 20%. I didn't think he was going to be that owned in GPP.
Yeah, so I was like, is everybody sharp and you're not?
So I did have Jamal Williams. So it was a Deshaun Watson double stack. I thought Deshaun Watson would be lower single digits. So I had Deshaun Watson, Cooper and Njoku with a Jamar Chase bring back. So obviously this team didn't do anything. I had Aaron Jones as my kind of pivot running back. I thought Aaron Jones was like the total, my favorite like GPP running back. I had him in, I think, 100% of my tournament teams.
Wow. Wait, what's the thesis, Nate? Let's hear the thesis.
I mean, we already talked about it in cash, why my thesis was that Musgrave and Reed were great plays. Aaron Jones is literally the only offensive player of Green Bay that can do anything. I thought he was going to get work in the passing game.
I think he's the only player on their only skill position player who's older than 24 on the
like I literally
game.
Thought he was going to have, I thought he had potential to have Eckler type output at ownership that was like,
wow. I mean, obviously he did. He smashed, but I'm just sitting here thinking that's what we thought would happen all last year. Is Aaron Jones would dominate the passing work because they don't have it, and it didn't happen. So but, I mean, like
Dylan ran more routes.
Yeah, well, this week, I mean, he got hurt. He ripped his ham or pulled his hamstring in the third quarter, so he didn't play for a game for a quarter and a half. But so yeah, Aaron Jones was my favorite running back, so I had him in, and then I had Calvin Ridley as my favorite wide receiver play of the week. He was in every one of my tournament teams, and then my flex play, I had Mike Williams. I thought he was a contrarian way to get ownership in the or contrarian way to get exposure to the Chargers Miami game, and then I had Buccaneers D.
Is Mike Williams the DeAndre Swift of receivers, where he's just like never going to get there too?
Mike Williams is not good. No one ever wants to admit it. Like, people are just like, Mike Williams is going to be a fifth round pick every year in fantasy football until he retires, but like, he's just not very good.
Tough, very tough. I had him in tournaments too, Nate.
I feel really bad. Sucks. Yeah, I mean, Mike Williams was my third highest owned player in tournament teams. I had Aaron Jones, Calvin Ridley in 100%, and then Mike Williams was in like 5 to 7. So.
Jamal Williams,
Jones, Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
It was right, too. Like, the way I was trying to build was like concentrated, one, like my singles, like one offs, and then a lot of Cleveland stacks, a lot of Hurts stacks.
Yeah, well, obviously you did real well, Nate.
Yeah.
It is kind of, I mean, obviously this is literally the name of the game, which is that you have to have everything perfect to win a lot of money. And I felt like I had some of the right ingredients. Like, I thought Bijan was really strong. I thought ETN was strong. Getting 20 points from Tutu Atwell at 2% owned, 3% owned in all these contests felt pretty good. Because I played at the 3K wide receiver slot because I kind of built like cash. I just played Atwell instead of Reed or Mims in all these tournaments. And, you know, just none of it matters because you needed Tyreek and
you needed
to win anything.
What you needed that mattered. I think the things that we sweat as like the awful plays of like the likely in tournaments would be so bad. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, like that's why I think we end up sweating the things in tournaments that really don't make a difference. You're not winning or losing because you had likely. Like, likely is not going to significantly change. It's going to be on your stacks and your other things that go off. Like, it's, I don't know, like looking at the SPY, it looks like the top five all had likely. Like,
well, the SPY is going to be like people are playing much closer to the chalk. I did look this up just because I was curious. I wondered if Atwell or Nacua was on the Millie winner, and they were not. I mean, that's how low owned they were, is that, you know, because they were so much less, there was so much less likely to be the Tyreek, Eckler, Tua team, you know, yeah, in with those guys, because it didn't make that much sense. Like the Millie winning team, let's see here. Let's read it out and then we can get out of here. All right. So they had Tua, they had Tyreek. Their 3K wide receiver was Kendrick Bourne, who actually went nuts. He had two touchdowns with 11 targets. I feel like Bourne is a real Nate ass play, which I was going to say Kendrick Bourne is a Nate ass play. What's funny, you really don't see this very often. This is how low scoring of a slate it was. Kenneth Walker with the snowflake in the Millie Maker winning lineup, because he had He had Ayuk. Ayuk was the other guy. He was the other you kind of needed to have him guy. So and how about this? Just shoving it in the face of the libs, winning the $1 million with 35% owned Commander's defense.
That's what I'm saying. The things that we sweat as like the most unplayable things. I don't know if those.
It does matter because you were creating massive leverage on the field, particularly Nate in the contest that we like the smaller stuff, the 1,000 person, the 2,000 person stuff. If 30% of the field play, I mean, how about this? Combine likely and Commander's combinatorial ownership, and let's say 20% of people have them, likely scores 1.4, and let's say the Commanders lose that game and they score 4, you have just eliminated 20% of the field. Like, obviously, if likely goes nuts, you need him. But I mean, like, you just smoke the field right there. You gain
in the big field stuff in the millie, you just need to hit the nuts. Like, you just must hit the nuts. In our contest, I think leverage is like more important.
So. Yeah, I think it probably
matters more from like a percentage of time that you get above cash line, but it doesn't change your top one percentile outcome of like when you're winning big money anyway. Like, does that make sense, Davis? So like if you're it probably makes your ROI, but not in your top percentile outcomes.
Well, it's actually getting to the key of the matter, which is that all of what we're doing is guessing, and that you to actually know what you're talking about, you need to run simulations. You need to be running sims based on. So these are the projections. This is what I expect the field to do, and this is what the efficient ownership for the Commander's defense might have been 50%. You know, the efficient ownership on likely, given what all of the models had as his inputs, might have been higher than it was. We just don't know. It's like Brian says this all the time when we talk about sims. Like, we'll do it for baseball. It'd be like, oh, you can never play a hitter in baseball who's 30% owned. And it would be like, well, that's kind of like a, you know, it's like, that's like an old wives tale. You know, that's like community wisdom, but it might not be true because we don't actually know what.
That's what I'm saying. When you simulate it
should be.
When you simulate it, like, we have these hard and fast rules just because we're playing one single week. But when you simulate this out over a lifetime, I do think like a 50% defense, like at times you're going to see, like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not the way that we like to think about it as like unplayable, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the people love this. You guys, we're solving DFS here in the year of our Lord 2023, the end of week one.
No, we're not solving shit. We're playing Jamal Williams and fucking Lamar's 7 points in DFS in the year of our Lord 2023. All right, guys, we're getting out of here. Thanks for listening. Sorry that it was posted on Monday. It's going to happen a little bit. We're all adults with jobs. We travel. Like, it, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we love you guys, and we'll be back next week. Later.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.